Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to us. Welcome back to Second Takes Podcast, at Second Takes on Twitter. And we're here with you for another week. Going to get into the cube here in a little bit. Going to look at the rest of the Auburn schedule. Break down what we thought of the opening night of SEC Network, as it is now with us. And after my charter rant that I had before, thank goodness that charter's on there, so I don't have to lambaste them again.
And I'm then, proud of you.
We're going to get into fall camp, a lot of scrimmages, injuries, news coming out of there. And then we're going to have a new segment called Bammer Moments by Ben. And it's going to be special, guys. Hang in there. It's going to be special. So, Ben, welcome back. Another week, another podcast.
Another podcast, another day. Well, slightly impromptu, we plan on it. I finally got a day off work, so I said, you know what? I'm such a dedicated Auburn fan that I decided I'm spending my day off to talk to my good pal Chris about Auburn football and share it with the rest of the world because I'm committed.
What a great way to spend a day off, right?
It is a great way. It's a beautiful day, too, so even better.
And I get you with that good morning, good afternoon, good evening every time.
See, you stopped and caught yourself midway through and looked at me. That's when I lost it.
Gotcha. Let's dive right into it. We've got a lot to get to.
Do it.
In this podcast, so let's go right to the cube, I guess.
You just looked directly at me.
All right. Into the cube, of course, those of you that may be new, this is our recruiting segment that Ben came up with a wonderful name of the Roberts Recruiting
Report.
Report. And so we call it the cube for the three R's. But anyway, I want to talk about three people that have come on board here recently. And let's start with the 2015 class.
Go for it.
I want to talk first about a four-star, Ben Edwards, that was with us that decommitted. But very quickly on the heels of that, just in the 2015 class, we picked up a three-star defensive back, Chris Westry. This guy's 6'4", about 180 pounds.
He's a tall drinking milk, he is.
He is. So imagine him in a corner position, maybe that star position, maybe another safety spot. Just giving us more depth on the back end with people who will be leaving after this year. The rich keep getting richer, so to speak. And to go with that, how about another 2015 commit? Four-star defensive tackle, Jontavious Johnson. Talk about a big boy, 6'2", 330 pounds. Maybe sitting in the middle of that defensive line.
Rich getting richer. I mean, we are the 1%, aren't we?
we're getting that way. I mean, you gotta imagine. I want to see what Russell and our strength and conditioning program is going to do with these guys. Whether it's add weight, take them off. But I mean, 6'4", 180, 6'2", 330. Those are good starting points.
Very good starting points, and it shows a natural athletic build. And I like getting taller players in general.
Yeah,
because that allows a lot more defensive opportunities, especially if we can block the ball out of the air. That makes me happy.
Absolutely. And then for 2016, again, Ben Edwards leaves us, and just right turn around, and we get a legacy guy, Stephen Davis Jr. He's going to be a defensive back, 6'4", 215 pounds. And I know we talked before we come on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine these two guys at cornerback and saying, hey, opposing quarterback, throw over the top of these guys.
Oh, my gosh. And I mean, think about this. That's what Missouri did. That's what got them as far as they did last year. They had these tall people blocking balls. I mean, this is the thing. I had a dream last night. I was playing quarterback, which is, again, a dream. But I'm throwing the ball. There's tall people blocking me. I could not get it over anybody's head. So I understand. Maybe this is a premonition of what's to come.
Well, Missouri did this, and it cost us to get Florida State.
Yeah.
Imagine one of these guys at 6'4", covering Kelvin Benjamin, as opposed to Chris Davis at 5'11", 5'10", maybe a different scenario.
See, that shows me learning and growth as a team, because we already know the 2014 team is better than the 2013.
Right.
But if we're able to learn from the people who had strengths that used well against us and apply them and make them our own strengths, that's assimilation. That's just becoming an even stronger, mighty-headed beast. We're up to – how many heads have I said this beast has now? Well, I've said four or five before. Let's say 23 now, roughly.
Yeah. Well, and we know that the guys who are coaching on the back end, mm-hmm. In our defensive – even our defensive coordinator, he likes bigger guys. He wants length. He wants size. He wants speed, mm-hmm. and quickness. And, here we go. you know, we're getting a little bit on all that. The more we talk about these recruits, I think we're up to 18 commits so far for the 2015 class. Looking good about, what are we, 5 months, 6 months out from National Signing Day. And, you know, we hadn't even snapped the ball in 2014 to start the season yet. So.
Oh, man, which is so soon.
Yes.
There was fall weather going on. I can feel the football. Like, it's literally like when you get hit Black Friday, when fall camp starts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Black Friday feel that you know the Christmas season has started, except no one's trying to kill each other at Walmart, thankfully.
Yeah.
Well, except for Bama fans, but
that's beside the point. You know, and the weather for people around our neck of the woods here in the southeast has been very deceptive. It's supposed to be kind of cool tonight. It was cooler last night. I think it's just, you know, maybe right over 80, 81 degrees.
And you know, we had a hot practice the other day for our boys, and Gus is very happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the better we play in hotter weather, the better we dominate people.
Well, listen, I don't think it's going to be very cool weather. You know, that Arkansas game that kicks off about 3 o'clock in Jordan-Hare Stadium is not known to be a very cool day at the end of August. So.
And I'll be out there sweating with the rest of you.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that.
Aw.
Because I'm not going to be out there sweating with the rest of you, and that's a sore spot.
See, he said, I showed him a picture. My friend who bought the tickets for me, she sent me a picture of them last night, and they're just so darn pretty.
Yeah. We'll talk.
Yeah. You want a yogurt later, buddy?
Sure, why not? Maybe feel better. But anyway, you know, that's really all I want to talk about in the Cube. Wanted to talk about those three guys. I know there has been a lot going on.
There has been.
In recruiting. But I wanted to touch on those three guys. And now let's get into the next part of what we want to talk about. We talked about the first three games, I believe it was, when we were last together. And unfortunately, Ashley was with us last time, couldn't be with us again today. But just the two of us, I guess, we'll go through the rest of the schedule. Because next week, the next time you hear us, we're going to be heavily focused on Arkansas because it should be game week, and we're getting geared up and ready to go, and we'll get really in-depth with that Arkansas game and break down matchups and schemes and ideas and things like that. So let's see. We left off with Kansas State was the last one we looked at. The next one up is Louisiana Tech. Ben, thoughts on La Tech?
Really?
Yeah.
Did like I did last time? Okay.
Sure.
If that's not a win, I don't know what is. Like, I don't see.
Can we roll Tucker Tuberville out there and get a W over La Tech?
I'll give La Tech a little more respect than that. I believe we're going to see a lot more Jeremy Johnson on display.
Jonathan Wallace then?
We'll see what the fourth quarter holds. That's being optimistic. But I honestly, like I said, this is going to be a good after, because we don't know how rough it's going to be out in Kansas State, but after that we've got a little bit of a breather. So this is a good chance for even more recovery and recuperation for a very hard road.
Right. Well, I'm going to go with you on that one. You know, on the road at Kansas State, I think we talked about last time, both of us think that's going to be a W.
Mm-hmm.
9 days later, so you've got a 9-day layover, and then you've got La Tech. I think, you know, this is, to use the words of our offensive coordinator, you know, this is going to be kind of a nameless score. I think the starters don't play very much at all.
No.
In this one. If they come out ready to go, it's, you know, a home game after a road game. The crowd should be a little crazy. You know, even if it's an early morning kick or like that mid-morning, there should be plenty of people there. Should be a little crazy. I personally wouldn't be surprised if you do see the likes of, you know, Jeremy Johnson gets a lot of time, and then maybe in the fourth quarter, yeah, you do see a Jonathan Wallace out there. Just if nothing else, to give a nod for what kind of guy he's been, a good player that he's been.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because I mean, really, you know, he started some games for us.
Yeah.
You know, and then 2013 happened. You know, and we know Nick Marshall, Jeremy Johnson came in, and he just got slid right back to that third spot. So, I think, you know, not throw him a bone or anything like that, but just like we did with, you know, Chandler Shakespeare in his time here, we need to give him a nod if it's, you know, if the score is where we can put him in the game.
I mean, they'll still find uses for him. He reminds me kind of more of like Cody Burns right before 2010.
Yeah.
They'll find something for him.
Yeah. Late in the game there. You know, game's well in hand. let him go out there, because he's a decent quarterback. I mean, it's not like we, you know, not like you're throwing somebody that doesn't have any skill out there.
You don't like to put me out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like Ben's getting under center force.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd be proud of me.
Yeah, I would be too. I'd be cheering very loudly.
No one gets my game ball, though. Yeah. It stays with me. Unless I throw interceptions.
So, another home game the next week, and again, this may be why you don't see the starters play very, very much against Louisiana Tech. LSU comes in, another Louisiana team, and fortunately, we're not having to go to Baton Rouge to play them. They've got to come here where, be honest with you, we have better luck.
We do. Well, that's because our Auburn fans are not as crazy as LSU fans. LSU fans are straight up nuts. I can tell you some horror stories, but here's the way I see this game. It's going to be our Rocky 2.
You think so?
I think so, because here's a Rocky 1. Rocky went the distance. Nobody's giving me any credit, but he still lost.
Right.
Here, we're going to go beyond the distance. Then we're going to knock him out. Then LSU's going to teach us, like, how to fight Clever Lang.
Yeah. This is, I think, you know, so you're calling a W here as well?
I am.
You know what? I'm calling a W here, maybe for different reasons. I don't know if it's a Rocky 2 thing. I just think this is an LSU team that's lost a lot on defense. The thing you're hearing more about than anything else is their running back, their freshman running back, Fournette. Mm-hmm. I've heard very little and read very little about anything else coming out of LSU.
I've heard very little about their camps in general, just no real updates or anything. So, just we had practice.
Yeah, I think, I know they're going to start the season probably about, you know, the 12 to 15 range as far as their ranking, but, yeah. You know, I really think they come in and I think this is going to be like an ESPN 645 or –
yeah.
Game, something like that. And I think Crown's going to be crazy. You know, they're going to be breaking in a new quarterback. And you know what? That's a W.
I'd say it is too.
You know, I'm thinking 10 points.
Heart's on fire.
You know, I don't think it's a, you know, two touchdown loss that we had last year. I don't think we beat them by two touchdowns. I think this is a 10 point game. I think it's Auburn gets up early, you know, and then for some reason, you know, we have that lapse in the third quarter. And then it's tighter than you want it to be, but it's not out of hand.
Like, I don't believe LSU won't show up and not fight.
Oh, it's going to be a fight.
It will be a fight. It will be a very physical game.
Yeah.
Unless we have just, you know, leveled up so much we can just not even worry.
No, I think it's going to be a fight. I think it's going to be one of those that we look up in the fourth quarter and a lot, you know, just like in the BCS championship game, just like the Alabama game, even the LSU game last year. LSU's going to be tired, you know, late third quarter, fourth quarter. And that's why I said it's going to be closer than you want it to be, but it's not going to be uncomfortable.
No.
You know, it'll be one of those things where the score is closer than you want it to be, but, it, you know, Auburn always has, you know, has it in hand, I think is the way we're going to go.
We'll get it.
Then the next week we've got to take that our next road trip out to Mississippi State.
Oui.
And, again, this may be one of those, depending on how good Mississippi State is at that point in the year, this is either going to be one of those mid, you know, 3:30 games. It may be on the SEC Network, or if Mississippi State is really good and their record's pretty good,
I mean,
you know, it'll be an ESPN game probably.
I'm not too much worried about what they'll be broadcast on. I just know Mississippi State likes to play a potential spoiler for us. They really do. And they usually are a good – I always see them usually like when we play them earlier in the year because they're a good measuring stick for where we're at.
Right. Now this is going to be kind of, you know, middle of the season.
Right, middle of the season. So it's a little different. So they're going to be a little more fine-tuned than when we normally play them. So I think it presents more of a challenge, especially if we're going to be in their stadium with freaking cowbells. And,
yeah. Start Vegas gives us trouble.
It does. But here's the thing. I still say it's a win. It depends on – part of it depends on how physical we get with LSU beforehand.
Right.
And it being a road game, that there are variables. I still say it's a win. They'll probably, again, I think they'll give us some headaches, but no, I still say it's winnable.
Yeah. I'm going to go two touchdown win on this one, and I think it's late.
Late?
Yeah. I actually think Mississippi State pulls ahead of us.
Layover from
the LSU game.
Uh-huh.
Go with me on this one. You know, real tough game against LSU, then we're on the road, going to Mississippi State, start Vegas. You know, that's the spot of that 3-2 ball game. You know, they've typically, when we go play them there, you know, it's a hard-fought win usually. You know, we may win, you know, we may wind up a lot of times beating them by 10 or 14, you know, but it's always one of those, you know, weird late kind of things. And I think that's what happens again. We get them in the middle of the season, like you said. they've had time to fine tune a little bit. You know, they're going to have Dak Prescott back there, you know, running quarterback, you know, that has a decent arm. And, you know, I think maybe they get up 3 points, maybe they get up a touchdown early.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we're playing catch up, but that kind of, you know, rings our bell and we have to kind of come back and answer like we've had to do on the road at Mississippi State before. And then I think as the game wears on, you know, we wear them down. Because, again, let's not forget Dan Mullen.
Right.
Yeah, Dan Mullen's going to make a bad call. He's going to roll the dice one time. He shouldn't.
He's a riverboat gambler, is he not?
You know, and he is the Tony Barbie of college football, as I've said before.
Is that a callback? Is that what it is?
It's a callback to an earlier episode. You lost it on that episode too.
I did, because holy crap.
I think again, he's going to make a call. He's going to gamble, do something that he shouldn't do. It's going to wind up costing. Like I said, I think we beat him by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Then we come back. I think we have a layoff, the 18th, and then on the 25th of October, the old ball coach comes calling at Jordan-Hare Stadium. We get South Carolina after a week off, at least.
Yeah, at least we get that week off. Like I said, I've said before, Spurrier's cocky. There's a good reason for it. This may be the closest game we have. I will say that up to that point.
They were good in 2010.
Yes, they were.
He had good reason to be. He was confident in that team.
Overcame them a lot easier in the SEC championship, but again, they made it to the SEC championship.
They did. That was a good ball team.
They were, and like I said, I would say I don't think they're going to sleep on him, but at the same time, be very, very alert. This could be a lot more intense than we think.
Yeah, I don't know that their defense will be as good. I think it's almost going to be. I hearken back to the SEC championship in 2010, and while I think it will be a hard-fought game for maybe a quarter and a half,
mm-hmm.
Because our defense is going to be better, and that offense is just – I think by this point, there's not a wrinkle in the offense. You know, we've got everything pretty well figured out, you know, and we're rolling, I think, by the time we get to the South Carolina game. And I don't think they're ready. And so I would not be surprised to see the score at the end of the day look a lot like that 2010 SEC championship game.
So you're hoping for a backbreaker at some point.
I am thinking that it is a back and forth game just like the SEC championship game was in 2010, and somewhere in the second quarter before halftime.
Yeah,
you know, just like that throw that Cam made going to the sidelines, Hail Mary into the end zone that wound up breaking their back. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a long run by Marshall or you know, Corey Grant around the end, or if it's going to be a Duke Williams catch down the sideline. You know, also that's what I'm saying. There's so many possibilities.
We just have to kill the momentum, is what basically the idea is.
You know, will it be an interception? You know, like we saw last year in the Ole Miss game,
mm-hmm.
you know, that went for a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, does the old ball coach get a little cute? Trying to get momentum going into half,
mm-hmm.
and it winds up breaking.
It's,
so you see what I'm saying? And then they just kind of fold in the second half.
Well, like I said, this is all speculation.
It is.
So we don't know because we haven't seen the first snap yet. But
by
the
time we get to breaking down that game,
mm-hmm.
and really breaking it down, we'll know a whole lot more.
Oh, a whole lot more. This is all hypotheses.
Yeah.
But I think that game's going to make me very nervous. I still say that. At least at minimum for the first half.
There you go. And that's what I'm saying. You know, just the SEC game, the championship game was the same way.
Yeah.
Until that throw right before halftime.
Yeah.
And then we kind of knew we had it in hand from that point. Then we have to go back to Mississippi and play Bo Wallace in the Ole Miss Rebels over there the next week. And, you know, I hear a lot of hype being about Mississippi, about Ole Miss, about Bo Wallace. Our styles are very similar. They play the 4-2-5 base defense just like we do.
Here's the thing about those. Offenses like that, these schemes, they're tools.
Yeah.
Okay? You could have the best hammer in the world, but if it's not in the hands of a skilled craftsman, it's useless.
Right.
So here's the thing. We've got the best hammer in the world, but we're the skilled craftsman. In fact, we've got the architect. Okay? We've got the guy that drew the blueprints on this hammer. Right. You are the guy that looks at it and goes, I kind of get where you're going with this, but you don't know the angle to swing it. You don't know how fast to swing it. You don't know where to even store it.
Right.
So, you know, we appreciate you. You know, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, but we're going to show you how it's done.
Yeah. See, that's where I fall, too. You know, this again is, I know we've got them undefeated, and some people are going to hear this, and they may think it's crazy. I think a lot of people will agree with this. Again, I just think we've got so much momentum rolling by the time we get to this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're undefeated, after the South Carolina game, going to Ole Miss, I think we've got so much momentum. And like I said, I think that the offense is going to be more balanced, and I think it then becomes at this point in the season, just like it did last year.
Yeah,
we weren't sure what they were going to do last year. You know, through the first few games, and then after the LSU game, and then after the LSU game, they put all the pieces together. You know, and then it just became this downhill, you know, juggernaut of a rushing attack. That part's still going to be there. We know about the running. You know, Gus says it's going to be more balanced. Well, you know, what does that mean? You know, yeah. Does that mean Nick Marshall is going to start throwing the ball, and where he was throwing it short or he was just missing guys, all of a sudden those are completed passes? Well, you're talking about, you know, per game, things that could be a 7 to 14 point swing. So the games that were closer last year all mm-hmm. of a sudden become 21 point wins, 24 point wins.
I'm okay with that because my heart can take those a lot easier.
You know what I'm saying? And the Ole Miss game last year was one of those games.
Yeah.
We got up early. They made a comeback, and the defense kind of had to hold down the fort in the fourth quarter. And there were some passes that Marshall missed that were touchdowns if he completes them.
Yeah.
So, again, that suddenly adds 14 points or 10 points to the score. And, you know, now your defense doesn't have to be as stressed in the fourth quarter. So, again, I think if we're rolling downhill at this point, you know, this becomes a 14 or 17-point win and a comfortable one.
Right. So I'd rather it be that than I hate when it's a close game and I see the defense – you know, hold down the fort and try and keep it from getting any farther on their side. And then the offense comes on there and on the field, and I have to say out loud, okay, now do something with it.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate seeing defense work super hard to keep the game from getting out of hand, and then offense goes 3-and-out.
Right. Because remember, you know, it's I think it was a 5-point ball game or something last year.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Lawson on a fourth down sacks Bo Wallace.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and that sealed the game. But up until then,
mm-hmm.
you know, the game was still very much up in the air. And so, you know, I think it's a, you know, 14, maybe 17-point win on the road. And it's comfortable, again.
Yeah.
You know, it's not anything we're having to stress over in the fourth quarter. You know, it's Ole Miss is scrambling for points, and they pull within 14 or 17 in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
But, you know, then, you know, Gus is just trying to run the clock out, I think, kind of thing. So.
I hope that's what happens.
Next week, we come back home, and we get the Aggies of Texas A&M without, Mike Evans is gone. some of their defense is gone.
I think Mike Evans being gone hurts them more than Manziel being gone.
Johnny Manziel's not there. They may actually have to slow down and play football.
Aw, sad for them.
Rather than just sling it around.
That's okay, because they got to go see a movie today. So that's nice for them.
Yeah, well, you know, that was nice of Kevin. So
that was nice.
You know, break off practice.
I hope they saw Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a good movie.
You know, we know Gus, you know, took all the guys bowling. Not too many days ago. So.
And they played at Auburn Fest.
Yeah. And so what do you think about Texas A&M? You know, a lot of pieces they're having to shuffle around and find players to fit.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. If their defense hasn't improved, it really doesn't matter who's at quarterback. We'll gash them again. You know, we're not going to have a last-minute sack. We're just going to handle them.
Right.
Period.
Because, again, you don't have a wide receiver that's, what, 6'5",
mm-hmm.
and, you know, puts up 240 yards on you.
I mean, and here's it's home game for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not worried about A&M.
Look, and I'm going to say this, and this is not a slight to the people in, you know, at Texas A&M, mm-hmm. but I got a feeling that they haven't come and played in Jordan-Hare.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different crowd in Texas A&M. Watching that game at Texas A&M, you know, the crowd looked a little calm. I mean, you know, they would get a little excited, but you really couldn't hear them
No.
So to speak, you know, they have the yell leaders that kind of tell them what to yell and those sort of thing. Hey, Aggies, you're coming into Jordan-Hare Stadium. We need no prompting. And your guys going to be facing noise. If you guys are on offense, you're going to have noise.
Oh, this is what SEC football is like.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, you're going to have noise, and you're going to have constant noise.
Yep.
Change on offense.
Oh, well.
The only thing I could think that was louder than sitting in Jordan-Hare Stadium, as I have done in an SEC game, was in the SEC championship against Missouri, where they dared to put a roof over us. And then it just echoed.
People should have gone deaf.
You almost did. There's several times that I had to – I thought I could not hear.
Somebody did not tell them how sound works.
Yeah. You know, and when the crowd is like 60-40, Auburn to Missouri, yeah, we were noisy.
I didn't even think it was that big a ratio.
Well,
I thought it was like 80-20.
Well, it might have been closer to 80-20. I may be giving Missouri a lot of credit there.
Yeah.
So another W. So we've still got them undefeated into November. The next one becomes a little more difficult in the fact we got to go to Sanford Stadium between the hedges. And we got to play the Georgia Bulldogs. By this point, Hudson Mason, you know what, he's not a rookie starter anymore. He's played already a couple of games there. You know, unless they have an injury bug that, you know, like what they had last year bite them, you know, this is going to be a healthy Georgia team. And, you know, playing them at their place, the only solace that you kind of take in that is that, you know, Auburn has a pretty good, you know, a pretty good record of going to the hedges,
mm-hmm.
you know, and coming out with the W. So what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, there are the three factors you have to consider. One, yes, they could be healthy. Two, yes, it is the hedges. And three, they're going to want revenge. That's what makes it, you know, they want their Rocky too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, okay, yeah, so they're healthy, and maybe their new quarterback has calmed down some of his jitters. He's still only played in a few big SEC games at this point. You know, he's nowhere near as experienced as we're going to be.
Right.
You combine that, you know, they've lost other players. I don't think this kid's anywhere near what Aaron Murray was at.
Well, not at this point in his career.
Right, and so I think we put a lot of pressure on him, then that'll be our key. You know, we just shut him down, we'll be good.
I think I think that's going to be important. I think even more important is, you know, knowing where Gurley is, and shutting down the running game.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, having spent the last month or so in Atlanta, over there around Emory, and listening to the sports talk stations over there, I mean, they are expecting a lot out of the running game.
Right.
And I think, you know, for any team really that faces Georgia, that has faced them, you know, at any time here in the last, gosh, what, 20 years.
Yeah.
Should know that, you know, if you're going to have any chance against Georgia, you've got to find the running backs and you've got to shut them down.
All right.
And I think the same thing holds true.
Shut them down. Just shut them down. That's where our defense really needs to step up and shine in that game.
Right. You know, I don't know that Hudson Mason is going to take off and run. I haven't seen enough of Hudson Mason play. I don't know if he's going to take off and run like Aaron Murray did in the game last year, and, you know, as Aaron Murray did over his career. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't expect him to have, you know, he won't have quite the seasoning that Aaron Murray had, you know, the last couple of years that we've played him. So, you know, a couple of those passes that we're used to seeing Aaron Murray, you know, complete when we play him. You know, Hudson Mason may, you know, short arm him or overthrow him, something like that. I don't know. I still think, you know what, I think this is a 7-point win. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just like last year's game. I think it's a back and forth, and I think we find a way to win it.
Yeah, I think we will too.
I think it's the old adage, as Gus said in many times. He said, you know, if we get them into the fourth quarter, we'll find a way to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he said that. You know, he said that more than once.
We don't quit. You know, that's the thing.
He said, you know, let's get it into the fourth quarter. You know, either be ahead or be tied, you know, or, you know, in a close game, maybe even 3 points behind, but we find a way to, you know, we find a way to get it done.
Yeah. I mean,
in the fourth quarter.
We don't quit, period.
So then the next week, well, I want to call it an off week, but there's actually a ball game going to be played against Sanford.
Oh, Sanford. And which Cody Burns is that?
Yeah. You know, sandwiched in between the Georgia and Alabama game, we come back to Jordan-Hare Stadium, close out. This will, you know, this will be the senior day game. I don't know if it'll be homecoming or not, but
No, that was not homecoming. But I know I'll say it's the same as La Tech. We're going to get Sue Johnson. We are out of necessity. We're going to be letting a lot of the starters rest.
If we can get the starters out by the second quarter, I'm gonna be happy in this game.
Very happy.
And if I'm looking up and Jeremy Johnson is playing at the start of the at the start of the second quarter, and the only reason that Marshall's sitting on the sidelines is because we're up 21 points or 28 points. And Gus and him have said, hey.
And Johnson will put on a show for us.
Let's let the starters go over there. Have a Coke and a smile. Put your hat on.
Coke and a smile.
Yeah. Put your ball cap on. Take your pads off.
Right. That's what I want to see. And I think we will. Because, like I said, out of necessity, we need the rest. Because we all know what's next.
I want to see. I want to see Cameron Artis Payne off the field early. I want to see Corey Grant off the field early.
Yep.
Duke Williams, Tammy Coates off the field early. You know, I want to see. I want to see Peyton Barber with a lot of carries.
Yes.
In this game.
Let's see what he can do on the, during that.
Let's not burn any red shirts or anything like that. You know, if we red shirt Rock Thomas. Now, if he's been playing, if Rock's been playing, you know, I want to see a lot of Rock Thomas. I want to see a lot of, you know, Peyton Barber.
See, we get Sanford Cop between a rock and a hard place.
There you go. I tell you what, you know, while we're talking about this, let's wait. When we get into fall camp, I'll talk about that in a minute. Let's finish up our schedule. Then, of course, we come down to, you know, going over to Tuberville Field at Bryant-Denny. I said that. Tuberville Field at Bryant-Denny because that's the name of the field. You know, six in a row, that's all I got to say. And we have a win. We have a winning record at Tuberville Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. So, again, we go over there on the road. We have no idea who Alabama's quarterback will be.
We thought we had an idea.
We kind of know what their running back situation is going to be. We don't know what their secondary is necessarily going to look like. We're not sure what their linebackers are going to look like. Again, there are a lot of question marks.
There's a lot of question marks, and friggin' ESPN is still like, well, I think they can win every game they got because Saban exists. Whoopie-doo.
Oh, Phil Steele's got them going undefeated.
Phil Steele's ticking me off lately. Like, I don't get Phil. Phil Steele is the one guy, like, throughout all of SEC Media Days last year. He sat there saying, like, oh, Auburn's going to lose a lot and dirt. Phil, why do you get paychecks? I don't like you. I don't agree with you. And I know people are like, oh, it's a bias. Yes, there is a bit of a bias, but at the same time, there's an ignorance factor. We're just like, oh, Alabama's going to win. There are question marks. That's legitimate question marks. They haven't even named. We're 2 weeks away. They're going to play West Virginia. They don't have a starting quarterback yet. And let me tell you something. West Virginia beats Alabama. That is going to be the couch-burning apocalypse, okay?
There won't be a couch left in West Virginia.
Not in West Virginia. I mean, they're coming off the front yards, people, and getting burned.
As a matter of fact, if you're close to the West Virginia-Virginia border, and West Virginia, you know, does beat Alabama, you might want to lock up your couches. They may come over the state line.
Lock up your couches, hide your kids, hide your wife. Like, this is just, it's going to end badly. Oh, wait, the game's being played in Atlanta, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Atlanta, lock them down.
Yeah, you might want to hide your couches in Atlanta. I forgot about that.
But
I'm going to go ahead and say this too, Ben, and then I'll let you finish your point. But if Alabama loses that game, the number of arrests in Tuscaloosa County will go up.
Ooh.
The police scanner will be busy.
I'm not touching that one.
I don't care.
I'll go too far.
I'll touch that one.
Here's the deal. You're going to see pictures of me laying out on the couch. It says, hey, boys, how you doing? Okay, realistically, I've said it before. People keep singing these praises to Jacob Coker, but yet again, 2 weeks away, he's not named the starter. Again, this is the guy not as good as Jameis Winston. If he was even somewhere comparable to that, it was a close race between him and Jameis. If it was that close of a race, he would have already been named the starter.
Well, yeah, I mean, wouldn't you think if he really was as good as everybody thinks he's supposed to be under center, he would have just come in and by the first scrimmage or after the first scrimmage,
he would have just done it.
The discussion would have been over.
Yep. But no, there's still a race. You know, by this time last year, yeah, sure, we had a quarterback race, but by this time last year, we had named Marshall. We had him.
Yeah, we said, you know, sink or swim.
In a four-man race. This is a two-man race.
Yeah.
Okay? Harder to stand up against three other people than it is one other person.
Yep.
All right? At that point, it's simple math. I don't know.
So, offensive line is a question. Defensive line was a little bit of a question. One of their defensive linemen, Ivory. Was suspended, and miraculously, it wasn't even a week later. He was back at practice, and I had told
such a people, hard time.
Yeah, I had told people. I realize he's suspended. I said, by the West Virginia game, they need him too badly.
Mm-hmm.
He will have miraculously, fulfilled his suspension. But anyway, so what do you think? 11-29. We go to Alabama. End of the season. Iron Bowl. Is it for all the marbles? And then
I have yet to see one analyst give us this game. Yeah, I've yet to see one. I still say it's Bama hype. And people, again, people are like, those are biased, but when have you ever not heard Alabama in some kind of conversation, especially when they didn't deserve to be there,
right,
when there were other teams just beating them out? I'm going to say we can win. Sure, there's going to be that hostility, and we're in Tuscaloosa. I'm still going to say we're going to win. And I know, you're saying they're undefeated. Yes, I'm saying they're undefeated because they're good.
Yeah.
We went almost undefeated last year, only lost two games, 13 seconds from a national championship. And we're better than that team this year. We're not going to depend on miracles. I say we go to Alabama and show them we don't need one extra second to beat them. We can use the whole 60 minutes and just beat you normally.
So is this Alabama team, I want to draw a comparison here before I give you my prediction. Is this the 2010 Alabama team that comes into this game, with three losses, two losses? Mathematically, statistically, whatever, they're out of the race. They're in second place, maybe in the SEC West at this point.
Yeah.
Them or LSU,
Oh, yeah.
Or Ole Miss, depending on who you look at. Is this a two- or three-loss Alabama team that, like that 2010 one, for them, this is a matter of pride in defending their home stadium?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And unlike 2010, they don't get the luxury of jumping out on us 24 points. Are we the ones that jump out on them 21, 24 points?
I think we're gonna break their spirit. Okay, and mark my words on this, because here's the thing, and I guarantee you, they're gonna start out being classy as usual, play some kind of song to insult Nick Marshall, something like that. I hope we go in their house and show them how we do things. I think they're gonna lose South Carolina. I fully believe it. They're nowhere near as strong as they were last year. They do not have the person to replace McCarron. They don't. Period. This is silly that they keep saying that they can just win every game they got. Well, if you had a schedule like they had, yeah, you have a higher probability of winning too. But it doesn't mean you've got the leadership to pull it off.
Right. I think they came in with two or three losses, and I've caught some flack on some of the message boards for saying that. But
that's the internet.
I think they come in with two or three losses. You know what? I think this is as I told somebody, they said, you can't keep hanging your hat on, on beating us, last year 34-28, 6 points and all that.
Fine.
I said, I don't have to. I'm gonna hang it on there long. I'm gonna hang my hat on that one long enough to get to the end of November, and then it's gonna be a 17 or 21 point victory.
Then we'll trade up for this year's model of hat rack that we can hang it on.
Yeah, after we beat you by 17 or 21, I'll go tout that one.
Yep. I want the discussion to end. I want everyone at ESPN to go, well, I guess we were wrong.
Well, they won't do that.
They won't, but I want someone to be like, okay, well, Mark Mays will give us credit.
Yeah, well, I mean,
not
we usually get Mark Mays.
We could destroy them a little bit. Well, you just weren't feeling to play in the game that you should.
And I think, all right, so that gets us through the regular season.
Yeah.
Who do we play in the SEC championship?
Well, it's probably going to be a rematch game.
Of?
It's either going to be South Carolina or Georgia, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Did we win that?
Maybe Missouri. Because we've proven if we played them once, we've learned, we can beat them again.
Yeah.
That one's just too early to really say anything about, because we don't even know.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out.
The East could be a complete surprise for all we know.
Could be Florida.
Could be Florida. I hope Florida's better than last year.
Could be Tennessee.
Yeah, well, Tennessee's got much more potential to turn it around. But we'll see.
You know, I'm just throwing options out there. You know, I mean, nobody saw Auburn coming last year.
True.
You know, maybe it's a Tennessee or a Florida this year.
Well, we saw Auburn come.
You know, well, you know what I mean.
We knew. We had the inside track.
All right, so there's our predictions. We'll see how well we do as the year goes on. I can't see us missing too many of them.
No.
Now we get into something that has been on its way for a year, at least. Ben, the SEC Network is here.
Yeah, it is.
And if you got to watch any of it last night, if you got to see the programming, looks like it's going to be pretty good. I'm a little disturbed that there's going to be a whole lot of Alabama games played in the first few days.
Shocking.
I don't know if they're just trying to get the Bama fan base on board or what, but I was going through the schedule. Looking on my charter, just seeing the programming that was coming, whole lot of replays of Alabama games.
Shocking.
Well, sometime in about 2 or 3 days, they're going to get to the Auburn-Oregon BCS championship game. But they're going to roll through a whole lot of other games to get there.
They are, but here's the thing. The one thing that makes me weird, and I forget what they're officially calling it, they're having their own version of game day taking place at the same time as College Game Day, which doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm going to be very confused.
I get that, like, oh, well, there's people that don't care about, Oregon and USC playing each other. Well, I kind of want to hear about that. I mean,
Game Day is always entertaining.
I love College Game Day. I got mad last year when I had to work and I missed it. I love College Game Day. It's just, it's tradition. We start our Saturdays off with College Game Day. We see the celebrity pickers. We get excited. Bill Murray picking last year. That was awesome. I don't get this, and they've got like Tebow and Feinbaum and whoever else. I forget who the other two are going to be on there, but like,
and then
make sense. Maybe you want to do like a Friday night show or something like that, kind of like a pregame College Game Day. Sure, that makes more sense to me. This doesn't make sense to me.
But you're going to go head to head, yeah. I mean, they're both ESPN, backed channels.
Why would you split your viewership like that? With,
yeah,
and it's going to be like 80-20.
I mean, I'm going to give it a look.
I'll chip maybe during commercials. If they time it right where it's like commercial, you can go back and forth. Kudos to them on doing that math, and God help the guy that has to do that math. I'll hit the back button a little bit, but other than that, from a marketing advertising standpoint, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I'll give it a look, but depending on how well it's done, will depend on how much time it gets.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how much. It's going to be funny to see someone like Tebow stand next to Feinbaum, I'm not going to lie.
Right. I mean, I'm probably going to watch because I know they're going to have one that's going on, prior to the Auburn game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll probably flip over there and watch their pregame show
mm-hmm.
for that one. But, yeah, I don't know how much time I'll give to them. But you know what? The commercials have looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the fact that they went around to the different campuses during the – SEC Now or whatever the show was that they started with.
Yeah.
Talk to different coaches. I think they got a chance to talk to Gus Malzahn from Auburn. They got a chance to talk to Bruce Pearl as well, I think, at some point yesterday. And so that was good. And like I said, they went around to all the different campuses, had people there. So that was nice. And, now for anybody who cares – matter of fact, I think, it's probably going on. Yeah, it's going on as we're recording this. If you want to tune in, the Paul Feinbaum show, has all four. has all 4 hours.
They gave him 4 hours?
All 4 hours of his radio show.
Jeez, I thought it was three. Okay. That was bad enough.
No, from 2 to 6, I think, is his time slot.
That hurts.
So
really?
Yeah.
No.
No,
no.
If you just want to go hear Phyllis and Tammy and...
God. I remember when I was, excited when I had to go out of town on a business trip and I found ESPN Radio and, I was listening to Colin, with it. Then I got in my car and I went to lunch and saw the ESPN Radio on. Sure enough, Feinbaum was on there because of the ESPN Radio.
Right.
And, yep, Phyllis, Tammy, whatever, was Colin spewing nothing but hate at everybody. Classy as usual.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Her calls are sometimes entertaining because she'll start out very calm, and then by the end of it, she's just yelling at somebody.
Used to, there was a producer's job to filter out the crazies in a show, and then because we have to do shock culture, I blame Howard Stern partly for this. you know, we have to get the craziest people possible through. So they, I guarantee there are rational human beings that call in and want to have a rational discussion, but you get the dumbest, most ignorant people that call in.
I think you've got to do that because I think that's where his show has evolved to, or devolved to, one or the other. You know, that if they cut those people out, I don't know.
His show is
how successful the show would be.
His show is essentially like the Jerry Springer of sports radio.
Pretty much.
Let's be honest. I mean, it's...
Now it's gone nationwide.
Yes, yeah, it's nationwide. He's going to have a bodyguard named Steve, and he's going to get his own show for some reason no one knows, and it's going to be really weird. And then we're going to catch him with a prostitute. So
we know Brad Edwards was ex-BCS guru, was filling in for him the other day, and there were people on there lobbying for him to have his own show. So there you go. There's your Steve.
What, people lobbying? You mean interns?
No. Calling in? No, like... You know, like people actually just calling into the show and saying, hey, Brad, you did a good job. You should have your own show.
I mean, if he did a good job, I didn't hear it. If he did a good job, kudos to him.
He was decent. I mean, you know, I mean, how hard is it, you know, to answer a phone and let people rant and rave about their...
I listen to ESPN Radio in the morning at work, and I usually tune out before Fine Mom kicks in. So yeah. I don't really, I just can't.
Well, anyway, so I think, you know... It's going to be exciting to watch it, you know, evolve. You know, it's in its infancy now, just, you know, one day in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully it becomes a great network, you know, reflective of, you know, who the SEC is. And I know they're supposed to show a lot of the other sports that you don't normally get to see on TV. So I don't know, you know, how many diehard football fans are going to pay an extra $1.30 on their cable bill or whatever it is for volleyball or, you know, water polo.
Volleyball is life.
You know, water polo or something like that. But, you know, maybe give us a chance to see some of the things you don't normally get to see from other guys.
Well, we'll give it time. It's an experiment, so we'll see what happens.
I personally would like to see, you know, something like Les Miles with recipes involving grass. You know.
This here's a grass pie. I like to have it on Sunday, sitting on the porch.
I think you should probably just get a camera and follow Steve Spurrier around. And just a reality show with Steve Spurrier would be...
I just really want some player at South Carolina to start a Twitter account that says, you know, it's crap Steve Spurrier says.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, I mean, now I remember hearing him say he doesn't throw his visor down now because he has to bother with taking off the headset.
I mean, wouldn't you watch an hour-long program every week that just with cameras that followed Steve Spurrier around for a little while?
Just his inane ramblings all the
time? Yeah, that's it. Just wherever he goes, just have cameras.
The first reality show of stinking SEC Network.
That's it. Just Steve Spurrier walking around.
An hour with Spurrier.
Golf course, beach, practice, wherever he's at. Just, you know.
See how he gets that red nose?
There you go. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, you know, or maybe, you know, just a show where, you know, on Saturdays or something, you just mic up football players and coaches and just, you know, kind of like your old NFL films, you know, where they'd have them mic'd up and you got to hear what they were saying.
I just want a whole bunch of footage of Spurrier, and then I want the bad lip-reading people to get a hold of it and see what they do.
There you go.
I want that. Shout out to the bad lip-reading. They're so much fun.
So there you go, SEC Network, some ideas from us over here at Second Takes Podcast.
You can make your check out to me. Some of my best friends call me Cash.
There you go. All right, let's get into more Auburn-specific things here for a little while.
Yay.
Fall camp is underway. They've had a couple of scrimmages now.
Christmas.
Yeah, man, we're going to turn around, and they'll be kicking off before we know it.
I'll know it because I'll be there.
Are you a... I know. What are you hearing, man? You know, what has grabbed you as far as headlines go coming out of fall camp so far?
Well, there's a good news, bad news side to it. The good news is, you know, they've had a couple scrimmages in Jordan-Hare. They turned out pretty decent. People are still growing, getting stronger. And you know, there's been a couple days where you know, Maslow's been like, didn't do what we wanted. Which is good that he's not just like, oh, yeah, everything they do is perfect. I want him to see what they're doing wrong and fix it. But at the same time, he said we've gotten some hot practices. He's happy. So I think overall it's going well. Now, the bad side is we keep hearing about injuries on the defensive side of the ball, which we talked about this earlier. It draws kind of a parallel for me because it makes me chuckle. I'm not happy anyone's injured, of course, but all those people that are like, oh, playing faster offense is going to make your players get hurt. Well, I've yet to hear of any real injuries coming from the offensive side of the ball, at least not serious ones. So, suck it, Bielema. But, I mean, my only concern is how bad are the injuries happening on the defensive end of the ball, because there's a lot of injuries that have just been kind of under wraps, and all of a sudden we just hear about them.
Right. We've got, I mean, there's lots coming out on both sides of the ball. You've got Jeff Grimes, who I think has a bit of a man crush on Austin Golson. I mean, the Ole Miss transfer. I mean, he's saying that he's got, you know, six or seven of the tools that you need to be an NFL quality lineman.
How many tools do you need?
Well, you know, apparently he says there's, you know, seven. And the only one that he's not sure about is, you know, like football IQ, you know, actually getting him in situations. And he says, you know, you've got the size and the speed and the quickness and, you know, you technique and all that. He says, but then there's some things that you just find out about a person when they're on the field against another team, and you've got to, you know, you just got to know what to do as a football player. You know, when, you know, in reacting to what the defense is bringing at you, you know, when you're an offensive lineman. So I think that's what he's talking about. It's just, you know, what are his reactions to, you know, when he sees a stun or, you know, a guy coming late on a blitz, those sorts of things, and you just have to adjust on the fly. And I think that's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Casanova McKenzie, Chris Frost seem to have a really good chemistry. They're talking about a great chemistry, but the two starters at linebacker, and, you know, both of them know the defense well enough to help, you know, to assist one another in the calls of getting people in the right place. So that looks really good. And so, I mean, we're hearing, you know, the only thing I've really heard on the defensive side of the ball, there's been, you know, there's been injuries. But it just seems to me that Ellis Johnson was a little disappointed in the last scrimmage that they had.
Yeah.
And just not being able to kind of solidify and clear up who's behind the starters.
Yeah.
But this is not, you know, for anybody that's been an Auburn fan long enough, this is not an uncommon discussion about this time in fall camp. You know, when you're trying to figure out the two deep and you're having to shuffle people around a little bit and you're trying to guy, you know, at safety who's been a cornerback, you know, and you're switching a cornerback over from one side to the other, you know. And what you wind up with, I think the biggest thing on the defensive end that I keep hearing is, yeah, we've got some nagging injuries, we've got some minor things going on, but I keep hearing that we've got a lot of depth, we've got a lot of people who are learning multiple positions.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a great thing to hear.
Multiple positions and – well, and here's the thing, though. I think he's his point also because, think about it, we're 2 weeks away, and, yeah, you're going to have a little bit of panic mode going, oh, if this isn't working now, how's it going to look later?
Right.
There's that panic mode mentality, but I don't think it's overwhelming them, of course, but you're going to want to see more at this point. I don't think it's anything to super worry about if they're having one bad practice. It's going to happen. You can't have every practice be perfect.
Exactly.
But that means, here's the thing, if it's only a really bad practice if you don't learn anything from it.
Right. And, you know, like I said, I just think it's one of those things on the defensive side of the ball where they're not sure. They've got a lot of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
From incoming freshmen to, you know, redshirt freshmen, guys that have been there, you know, a couple of seasons, you know, upperclassmen, they got a whole lot of guys that can fit a whole lot of different positions. And I think really the frustration is you've got people who get these little nagging injuries that keep them out for a practice or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of know what they can do, but you don't have, you know, but you want to see more so you can kind of finalize. And I think that's where they're getting frustrated on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they're going, well, we'd really like to have a 2D, you know, kind of penciled in.
Yeah.
You know, and then be trying to figure out who's, you know, who do we need a red shirt, you know, who do we need, you know, who do we need to still shift around a little bit and cross train. Mm-hmm. And I think that's frustrating them a little bit.
Just a little bit, but we'll, with time, I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I really think by the time they get through this week,
yeah,
you know, this next week especially, and they get into Arkansas week, they get into game week, I bet we hear a whole lot get cleared out.
Yeah,
you know, by this time next week.
Oh yeah, we're, you know, I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm not either. I think this is going to be, especially in the secondary.
Yeah,
it's going to be a place where you got a whole lot of people that can play.
Yeah,
and it'll just be who's going to step up and be the playmaker.
How deep is our talent pool?
You know, deep. We got a lot of people back there.
Like we had to put up barricades. So you don't drown yourself in our talent pool.
Defensive line, defensive end. I mean, I think defense has got a whole lot of place players to pick from and shift around. So always nice to have those sorts of things. And, the only real disconcerting thing about on the defense is Robinson Therese seems to have this problem, and people aren't sure. He's not going to play early, but he, you know, Ellis Johnson didn't say he was injured, and we just...
I don't know what's going on there.
Nobody stepped up and really said, hey, this is what's happening.
I just keep hearing Therese, by the way, and I'm like, by the way, what? What happened with Therese? Has he got a broken hand again? What's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody. There may be one person that they're yelling like, do I know? Well, good. If you know, tell us, because we don't.
Yeah, send it to us on Twitter or something. Yeah.
Hashtag real deal.
Yeah. Tell us what. Because the only thing I can see is Auburn hybrid Robinson Therese may not be able to play early.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Like early in the year, early in the first game. I don't understand what that means.
Is there some sort of suspension sitting out there that we don't know about? You know, those sorts of things. On the offensive side of the ball, not a lot of news. I mean, you had an 8-second video of a freakish one-handed catch by Duke Williams between two defenders that was taken down very quickly.
Yep, I understand why.
But I'll give a shout-out to Warbloggle. I think unless he's had to take it down, it's still on warbloggle.com. You can still go there and watch it. And I recommend, if you haven't seen it, go to warbloggle.com and watch it. It really brought a smile to my face because I'm thinking, you know, if he's doing this in practice, I can't wait.
Duke is going to be so much more of a game changer than we even know. Mm-hmm. I fully believe this.
I almost think, you know, because they've been teasing that he's gotten a lot of work at like inside slot receiver.
That's good.
And I see him, you know, breaking off one of those 7 or 7 to 10 yard slants,
mm-hmm.
breaking a tackle, and then, you know, next thing we know, he's 60 yards upfield, you know, scored a touchdown.
Where'd he go?
Yeah. Either that, or if he does get put on the opposite, you know, outside receiver,
mm-hmm.
opposite Sammy Coates, one of those guys is going to be open.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unless they're going to roll both safeties down to help cover them, and then, you know, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have some open space in the middle.
Well,
you know, you can't cover them all. Somebody's going
to
be able
to. Can't cover them all. Many-headed beast, you know, Hydra. I've said it before. I just want to see it. I'm getting anxious just talking about it. I just want to see it.
That game against Arkansas can't get here quick enough.
No, it can't.
You know. Because you want to see both of those guys on the field at the same time. And you want to see the defense roll the safety down, guarding against either the speed sweep or the, you know, the option.
Right.
And you want to see a little play action fake, and you want to see somebody, you know, Sammy Coates either flying by somebody or Duke Williams is flying by somebody, and you want them to get the ball and have a good time.
I'll have a good time when they get that ball.
So you know, lots of good things. Like I said, just keep coming. You don't hear a whole lot out of the offense. Seems like the offense is pretty well set. It seems like they are at least. Just trying to figure out the kicking game.
Yeah. They sort of have. They've got somebody. I forgot the name. I apologize. They had names of somebody as like a freshman that's going to be their do-it-all kicker.
Yeah.
And I apologize for forgetting the name. But if that's true, because we've had strong kickers, and it's very hard to replace those kickers. I want kickers we can – like, they can go out there, I don't have to worry. Because they're going to nail it.
Yeah.
That's the bar right now, is I don't have to worry about our kicking game.
Yeah, and it seems like Carlson seems to be kind of... I think he seems to be the one that's kind of maybe grabbing the reins there and may wind up the first one since Damon Duvall to do it all.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, because it's fine that you can do it all because you're kicking like 4 or 5 times a game or something like that.
Right.
No more than that, but still.
Well, you know, that's about all I hear out of fall camp, really. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, and
kind of quiet right now.
It's okay that it's quiet because I don't want people finding out too much.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. I get weird when they're like, "Oh, we're having open practice." I'm like, I don't want people to see it, and I don't know.
Yeah, I occasionally read or hear about, you know, some of the people covering Auburn, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking about, oh, we only got 20 or 25 minutes of, you know, We only got to see practice for 20, 25 minutes. Good.
What do you do?
I kind of don't like that you got to see that much.
Nope. No.
You know, I'm glad that, you know, the only photos that you have of people running through drills that everybody does. You know, but you're really not seeing, you know, the real work being done.
Oh.
So, you know, and I know, you know, there may be people out there like, you know, Brandon Marcello and different ones that write for AL.com. They cover, you know, different beat reporters that may be like, well, but we want to see more. You don't need to see more.
You'll see it all on game day.
Yeah, August the 30th. Bring your cameras, bring your notepads. There'll be plenty to write.
Speaking of August 30th, you know, an article, I want to talk about this. An article came out yesterday talking about improvements being made at Jordan-Hare for the fans' experience. And I want to talk about this because, you know, I'm rubbing salt in the wound, but I'm going to be there. But these are exciting things that I'm reading. For one, just something simple, and this has been a big problem at every stadium in America, college, pro, you name it, lowering prices at concession stands. Because there's no sense in paying $4 for a bottle of water.
Are you talking about $2 for a bottle of water?
$2, sir. Because, let me tell you something. The one complaint I've always had whenever I go to any sporting event ever is the prices of concession stands. I remember 08 Iron Bowl being there. It was dating girl at the time. She wanted a hot chocolate. I wanted a hot chocolate because it was freaking cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid $4 each for a cup of hot chocolate. That was essentially tap water, hot tap water, with a Swiss Miss bag thrown in there. Yeah, that was worth the price. No, it was not.
The cup was worth the price.
The cup sucked. Everything about it sucked. Because it was somebody had the idea last minute, like, it's cold, let's make a butt ton of money, because you're getting about a 400% profit on that one.
Right.
It was just awful. So that knowing that those are going down, it's not just water, everything else is going down too, hot dogs, candy, all that, great. The other thing is too, 4G being improved in the stadium, because when everybody and their brother's Instagramming selfies of themselves not actually watching the game and just being like, I'm at the game, then, you know, your phone service is going to struggle. And we've got to text your boy and be like, where are you at? Oh, I'm in section, you know, J22, you know, holler at your boy, but you can't text him because your service is down. If you're improving that, that makes me happy, because I am going to Instagram pictures of myself at the game.
Yeah.
I don't take selfies often, but for this one, I will. But they're improving the overall experience for the fans, making it more accessible. They're even going to let fans on the field twice this year.
Mm-hmm. I know the Samford game, I think, is one of them.
Samford and I think it's La Tech is the other one.
Okay.
Let fans on the, and they're honoring at those games, 89 and 2014.
Yes.
So I think this is going to be a very good year for the fan experience in general.
Oh, you know, you're talking about, how about the price of hot dogs going down $1 too, so you can get a bottle of water and a hot dog for $5.
Ooh, almost there. You throw in a bag of peanuts or something like that, I'm happy. But that was the main thing I want to talk about. Now, can we talk about the one thing I've been wanting to talk about since, like, last week?
All right.
Can we?
It is time.
Yay.
We have taken long enough. It is time for the Bammer Moments with me.
If you own a home that is mobile and 14 cars that aren't, you might be a redneck.
I have to put that joke there every time. It's required legally. Basically, just a heads up, there's going to be a Jeff Foxworthy joke every time I tell one of these stories. And I got three of them for you. So let's talk about the first one. Now, Chris, I told you about this experience last Sunday.
Yes.
But for the people at home who haven't heard this ridiculousness. Okay, so this is the true definition of a Bammer, not knowing anything about what you cheer for and just being a Bama fan because... So a couple weeks ago, I was at home. I was watching the replay of Auburn, Georgia on ESPNU. So if anybody, you know, was watching that game on a Sunday afternoon, you'll know roughly the timeline here. So I was watching it, but then I had to get up and meet a friend. We were going to go see the movies. Okay, so we went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy. Highly recommend that movie, by the way. Fantastic movie. Okay, so we're sitting there, or we're standing in line by a ticket. My friend, and he looks at me and goes, hey, what were you doing before you came out here? I said, oh, I was watching the replay of Auburn, Georgia. He said, nice. You know, he's an Auburn fan, too, because that's who I hang around. And this guy comes by walking past us, and he goes, are they playing right now? I just kind of, which it just caught me off guard. I said, it's the replay from 2013. And then he goes, oh, well, who won? What do you mean, who won? it was at this point, Will told me that my hands were going up in a what the crap is wrong with you fashion. And I'm sitting there, I said, because, you know, I said, Auburn won. And he just went, his legitimate reaction was this. Oh! Just disgusted. That game was 9 months ago. What is the rock you were living under? People who were not football fans know how that game ended. I do not understand this. What, like, you were disappointed that Auburn won, but you didn't even know about the ending? It was one of the biggest endings of the year, second only to when we beat your team. Like, how do you not know this? How? It still hurts my brain that you were a self-professed Bama fan. Well, you're possessed by something, but self-professed Bama fan, and you don't know how that game ended. If you know anything about football ever, you could be a fan of Miami of Ohio and know how that game ended. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I told everyone, any Auburn fan I knew with ears, I wanted them to know this story. And this is going even more because this is Bama awareness. This is what we're dealing with here, folks. If you are outside of the state and you're like, well, why are you the minority of Auburn fans? This is why. Because that hurts. Okay, thing number two was at my place of business, we have a waiting area. And I'm not going to say where I work because reasons. But we have a waiting area for potential customers. And there's a TV there. Had an older gentleman. He was watching. They were advertising for the SEC Network, so they were playing classic SEC games. Showing a replay. I forget which year. I didn't get to watch it. But replay from the 90s of Auburn and LSU. So on occasion, I'd peek in there and see what was going on. And this guy he's talking about, he starts talking about Auburn. I talk about how much I like Auburn, how good I think we're going to do. Well, I see him start moving his arms a little bit, and he's trying to show me that he has an Alabama shirt on. Well, that's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep talking because you started this conversation, and it's your fault. So I keep going. And now one of the older gentlemen that works with me, he's an old pro. He's an Auburn fan too. Went to school at Auburn, and there's a reason he's one of our best employees there. He came up to me and he said he sees this Bama fan watching the game. And he goes, "You watching that Auburn football, sir?" He said, "Well, yeah, you know, just no one's around, so I figure I can get away with it." He said, "Well, you know what they say: two Baptists will go to another county to get an alcoholic beverage, and a good Alabama fan will sit out in an open area to watch an Auburn game." But the other one, now this has been on the news, or not on the news, but on the internet and whatnot. Chris and I were talking about it earlier. So a Bammer got his license plate to say "Kill Gus." Really? And which is why I immediately put on the Facebook article when I saw it, I immediately put, oh, I guess this vehicle is registered to the Updike family. Because that's the only excuse I can think of. And I was proud of myself for that, by the way. Yes, I was. But here's the thing. Because Chris, confirm this for you. Did you not tell me before we recorded that guy claimed it was a family name?
That was the last report that I had, yes, said that something about it being a family name or in the family.
Bull crap.
You're just going to call it.
I'm calling all the shenanigans bull crap. No. Most people, our names come from what our families did back in the day, back when they were still in Europe. Okay, so you're telling me somewhere in medieval Europe, whatever, something like that, or Industrial Revolution, wherever it begins, there was a hobby of killing people named Gus.
No, I told you before we started, they killed the mule that kicked that kicked field goals.
What is that from?
It's a Disney reference.
What Disney?
You don't know about the field goal kicking mule?
No.
Gus?
No.
Oh, you need to go watch a Disney film.
I know Disney films.
Don Knotts, I believe, is in that film.
It's a Don Knotts movie?
I believe it's Don Knotts.
That's probably why I haven't seen it. I've seen The Ghost of Mr. Chicken and The Incredible Mr. Limpet, so I'm good. No, I mean, yeah, bullcrap is you are in the Updike range of crazy, and you and your children, Crimson Tide in Alabama, you can sit around and laugh about your license plate. But
I cannot believe you have not seen that. I've got it right here, 1976 American film by Walt Disney Productions, centered around a football-playing mule.
What's it called?
Gus.
It's just called Gus.
That's the name of the mule.
A football, and it has Don Knotts.
I believe it has.
Is he the coach? If he's the coach, I'm sold.
You know what? I'm not sure. I'll find that out for you.
Well, this was a terrible play. Anyway. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Somehow we have went from Bama moments to... Yes, Don Bama. Knotts is a coach on the team.
Heck yeah. Netflix, I'm coming for it.
The name of it is Gus, and the California Adams are in last place with no hope of moving up, but switching to a field goal kicking...
This is going to be...
Goes from team mascot to team member, and yes, he kicks 100-yard field goals.
This is the concept for the water boy. It's exactly what it is. It's the mule Don Knotts version. You replace the mule with Adam Sandler and Don Knotts with Henry Winkler. It is the water boy. Oh my gosh. High quality H2O
Netflix,
indeed.
Netflix, here you come.
Here I come, Netflix. They still haven't put Most Extreme Elimination Challenge on Netflix, by the way.
You have something to do after we start recording.
Oh, I have a lot to do. anyway, but those are my moments. Seriously, and I guarantee you, here's the please. Tell me your stories. If you've got a Bama moment, put it on Twitter, hashtag Bama moment. I want to see it. I want to laugh. I want to feel your pain with you. You will have all my empathy and all my laughter. Tell me these moments, because I'm going to use a plethora.
And if we get plenty of them, I hope that this is a segment that sticks.
Yes, it is. You tell me a story I really like, I'll share it. Okay, I have no qualms about it. I'll give you full credit. Share the story. I want to hear it. I want to read it. So, yeah, hashtag Bama moments. Please, by all means, make me feel joy.
There you go. Breaking news. As I was just looking across the wire here. Notre Dame investigating academic fraud, and some people went to Twitter to begin bashing the SEC. I didn't have this. Wait a minute. I didn't have this in our plans because I was just rolling through, checking the news as it was coming forward. As we're recording this, Notre Dame dismissed four key players due to an academic fraud investigation that took place sometime this summer. And then, of course, Notre Dame fans casting off their frustration. They went to Twitter. How about Colin Cowherd? Notre Dame reporting academic fraud. Figures. SEC does it right. Books first. Football second. Brian Richmond, Biggie Rich 03, again on Twitter. There's no way this is happening to my team. This is Notre Dame, not some SEC school with zero integrity.
Wow.
Kevin Bartner, who says at Heshon. I guess is how you'd say it.
Heshon.
Who says Notre Dame isn't SEC material?
Wow.
DJ underscore lights says Notre Dame and Brian Kelly should ask the SEC how this academic fraud thing is done.
Vent much?
And it just keeps on going. I've got at least
so God forbid. But here's the deal: when a player in the SEC gets called out for cheating, we don't sit there and go, "Well, at least we're not so and so." We take responsibility. Clearly, Notre Dame doesn't know what accountability is or its fans.
Well, get this one. Why is Notre Dame the only school to suspend athletes for academics? I'm sure those SEC players don't go to class.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Okay, this is the same school that had Charlie Weiss as their coach, and he looked like a janitor relapsing on cheeseburgers.
There's some anger in South Bend.
Well, and this is what, a day or two after that. Who was it that said that they were mocking
had a running back from Notre Dame that was talking about the SEC, calling out the SEC strength of schedule.
Okay, remember how you barely somehow by the dumbest luck made it to the national championship and you went to triple overtime with Pitt?
All right. You know what? We're just going to get after it. Notre Dame running back, if you're going to call out the SEC, don't play this kind of schedule.
No.
Rice, Michigan, Purdue, Syracuse, Stanford, North Carolina, Florida State, Navy, Arizona State, Northwestern, Louisville, and USC. Two of those are at neutral sites. They go to Florida State, to Navy, and Arizona State. Everybody else, it appears they get at home.
Man, I'm going to be cheering for Navy so hard.
So,
Florida State's going to kill them. Michigan can probably beat them. USC, Stanford, they'll beat them too.
Let's go this. Purely based off of 2013 winning percentage for the teams that they play. Not necessarily an accurate version because we know teams, change personnel and things from year to year. The Irish opponents' winning percentage 64.78%. In contrast, that with Arkansas and Tennessee, two of the lower, you know, weaker teams right now in the SEC. Arkansas's opponents won a college football high 65.61% of its games in 2013, and Tennessee's won 65.16%. So, you know, Notre Dame, before you go calling out the SEC for strength of schedule, be careful.
Side note, didn't they in the BCS era have somehow written in the charter that if they had 8 wins, they had a BCS bid?
Oh, let's not.
Strength of schedule, you made a bylaw so you could get a shot.
I will go off on Notre Dame because for some reason we still have to watch them on NBC on Saturdays in the fall.
Yeah, I know.
I'll go ahead and give you a moment. Last time Notre Dame was relevant, I'll wait.
Well, there was, but then there was that time that, but then that one Saturday.
Lou Holtz.
Mm.
Lou Holtz was the last time Notre Dame was relevant.
Yeah.
That's why I said, go ahead, I'll wait.
They started with Charlie Weiss, and then they went way too all in on him.
I mean, the last time we saw anything of consequence from Notre Dame, yeah, a team that we really don't like, was running them out of the stadium for a BCS championship.
It was embarrassing, and we knew it was going to be.
So, Notre Dame, you know, look, before you go calling out the SEC.
Oh, I remember last time they were relevant, when they had that guy with the imaginary girlfriend.
Yeah, that's the same year.
The Hawaiian Mormon with the imaginary girlfriend at the Catholic school.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a movie of the week.
Yeah, that was the guy we saw getting run over by that team to the west of us.
That's unfortunate.
So, anyway.
I
think before we both get too crazy here, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. That'll be the Second Takes podcast for this week. A big shout out to our host, War Eagle Sports Radio. Hear us there. They're changing up the lineup a little bit, but we're still on there, and there should lots and lots of good content over there. And so if you've got War Eagle Sports, download the app from iTunes. Listen to all the great content there. A lot of good guys are breaking it down. So, Ben, until next week, until next time, where we'll get into the Arkansas game and really break down what we think about the Hogs, War Eagle, man.
War Eagle.